Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The sun and the moon are definitely not the same shape and size. But I would invite him to try to take a trip to the sun if he wanted to check it out for himself. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you are now awake on your Friday morning, maybe you got an early commute, you're at the gym, you're walking the dog. I've got my friend Mark, who walks the dog at this hour. Gosh, my former boss, he used to run at 3:30 Eastern time, and so he would be awake listening to the show as he ran. It's a different Mark, but if you're listening, hi, Mark. It's definitely an early start. I'd rather be up overnight than to be waking up or to already be on the move. But it is a Friday, and so that makes it easier. That is my hypothesis, my carefully thought out and well-tested hypothesis. Waking up on a Friday morning is always easier, or working overnight on a Thursday into a Friday is always easier, especially this time of the year. There's so much happening. We're heading into Easter weekend, so that means a lot of family time, a lot of families on the move, and just people on the move, whether it's roads, whether it's through the air. I know it's a good weekend for families and friends to get together. I was supposed to buy a spiral ham at the grocery store on Thursday, but for the life of me, I could not find one. I'd never purchased a ham on my own. Mom always gets the ham. Or when I'm by myself, I just don't have ham. But the hubs and I wanted to have a ham for Easter because it sounds nice, especially the kind that has the glaze with the brown sugar. Oh, that's delicious. Anyway, I didn't find one, so I guess he has to go get it. I think they were hiding them at the grocery store. Or maybe they were out. I almost caved and bought a turkey because I'd rather have turkey breast, but we had agreed on ham. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also on our Facebook page, our YouTube channel, as we head into what is the final weekend of March. What? Already into spring. And now the final weekend of March until we hit what is an all-out blitz in sports in the month of April. And really busy for a lot of, in general, family activities. If you're talking about school kids, you've got spring breaks in a lot of cases. Certainly trips. And I know that with the spring comes an influx of youth sports too. So it gets to be really busy and active before the school year wraps up. I know in different parts of the country, you've got school years that actually wrap up in May as opposed to middle of June. My mom is done, I think, before Memorial Day. But I don't know if it's going to change for her, though, because they had spring break and she was on vacation for spring break. And then they get back into school and not even a week later, half the school is sick. A combination, a variety of reasons why they're sick. But it spread through the school like wildfire, and not even the teachers alone, half of the students were out of their school as well. So they finally ended up shutting down the entire school for another week. So mom was out Monday anyway, and then by Tuesday, they had canceled school for the whole week. They just came off a spring break, but they had to deep clean the school and also just needed people to get healthy. So the last I knew, she was on meds. She was still struggling a bit. So praying that she will feel better after having another week. But it's not really a great week off if the whole time you spend being sick. That's kind of sucky. So hoping that everybody at her school is better after another week out. That's not really the kind of vacation you want. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. At the end of March, it's become a thing now for Major League Baseball, a universal opening day, and they move up the start of the season last year as well as this year, maybe a couple extra days around the All-Star break and not wanting the World Series necessarily to go into November, if at all possible. And so we had all but four teams that were in action on Thursday. A little bit jealous seeing the sunshine in other parts of the country. It was pouring down rain for most of the day in the Northeast along the Eastern Seaboard, which is why the Mets and the Phillies games were both postponed to Friday. But the weather's supposed to be beautiful for a lot of people into the weekend. So that's what I'm hanging on to. Yeah, baseball, we talked about the Dodgers, who are one of the major stories this season, and not just because of Ohtani, also because they have a lineup that features multiple MVPs, as well as $1 billion. Well, it's more than that, but $1 billion price tag plus just from their spending spree this off season, $1.35 billion spent in this season. They were really the only team that had a hot stove. But if you include the Will Smith contract and Tyler Glasnow, who is their starter on opening day, plus Ohtani, and then we'll see Yamamoto again. He has struggled in spring training and also really got shelled in the Seoul opener, well, his opener, but the second game in Seoul, South Korea last week, he got chased after one inning, gave up a ton of runs. He got hit pretty hard. If you missed my conversation with Scott Miller, he's a longtime baseball analyst and insider. He joined us on our last show, and he was talking about how Japanese pitchers generally do struggle when they first get into Major League Baseball because the ball is a different size. Japan leagues versus MLB, they play with a different sized baseball. And so for that reason, it can take a little bit of an adjustment. So he does expect that Yamamoto will fix that and will adjust and will become the pitcher that the Dodgers are paying for. But yeah, the Dodgers, a major story, and then the Ohtani level as well. But he was welcomed warmly by the fans there at Dodger Stadium. I saw some quotes from him afterwards where he said, as an opponent of the Dodgers, when you come in here and you play with another team, it's intimidating. I'm paraphrasing. So it's really nice to have the Dodgers fans on my side and cheering for me this time. So that was really cool. So the Dodgers end up getting a big win on their opener, and Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman both homer. Also in the NL West, talk about a wacky display. It was the Rockies. And so I guess that doesn't really surprise anyone. But the Diamondbacks against the Rockies in Phoenix, and they set an opening day record with 14 runs in the third inning of this game. Broke the records for most hits, most runs, most batters in a single inning in franchise history. And also the most runs in a single inning on opening day for any team since 1900, which I don't know if they would keep the records prior to that. But yeah. Quite the offensive display for Torey Lovello and his Arizona Diamondbacks. So 14 runs in one inning.
I said it three or four times. I've never seen anything like this. And it just kept going. It just kept happening. And like I said, it was just real good approaches to the baseball. And nobody's trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark. They're just trying to do what they do best and stay inside of the baseball and just use an all-field approach and backspin it.
Here are some of the gaudy numbers from this one inning in which the Diamondbacks sent, 18 batters to the plate. And these were the results. 13 hits, 2 walks, 1 sac fly, 3 pitchers the Rockies used in that single frame alone. No home runs. How about that? They batted around twice. Torey Lovello, I've never seen anything like it. And that particular frame, that half inning actually, took 34 minutes. So the Rockies needed 34 minutes, more than a half hour, to get the 3 outs. So Diamondbacks are off and running with some major fireworks. So same thing for the defending champion Texas Rangers, though not nearly as many runs, but hosting the Cubs on banner night, their first World Series in franchise history, all the pomp, the circumstance, the excitement, fans being there in attendance on opening night. It was a game that was on national television. And the Cubs had a lead in the top of the ninth inning. And I'm not sure if you saw it, but Jonah Heim, who's behind the plate, he believed that there was a foul tip. So and the ball kind of caromed away. It bounced away. He thought it was a foul tip. So he didn't immediately go and retrieve the ball. The pitcher, I don't remember which pitcher it was, the pitcher doesn't cover home plate because he also thinks it's a foul tip. So neither pitcher nor catcher really runs after the ball. Meanwhile, you've got the Cubs who are sending their runners around in the hopes that they're going to be able to score. And so the heads up base running, they get a guy across the plate where it was just this moment that Jonah Heim didn't agree with. He thought it was a foul tip, and I'm going to go back and look at the replay. I guess he had a debate, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be doing your job. And so neither he nor his pitcher end up getting the ball or protecting home plate, covering home plate. And so the Cubs were able to score the go-ahead run. Well, that brings up the bottom of the ninth, in which the Texas Rangers are now trailing in Arlington.
The pitch is swung on, hit high in the air, deep right field. Suzuki back, he's at the wall. That ball is history. Travis Jankowski with a pinch hit home run has tied this game. He hit one home run all last year.
The 0-1. Swinging a drive up the alley in right center field. Jonah Heim has walked off the Cubs. Jonah gets that chance, and he drills that pitch up the alley in right center. He's getting mobbed by his teammates out near second base. Jonah Heim with the game-winning run batted in to give Texas a 4-3 win here in 10 on opening night.
Just a lot of emotions coming to the surface there. Obviously, I take full responsibility for what I've done. Anyway, my emotions get the best of me, and should have finished the play. That's all on me, and I'm glad Travis came up and tied the game there with a big swing. And I'm gonna buy him a dinner or something. And, just getting to help the team out and kind of make up for earlier, and felt pretty good.
I don't want guys dwelling on that. Hey, it's over. You can't do anything about it. Let's move on. And he did that, great at bat there, to two outs. You can't get a bigger hit than that, so good for him.
Yeah, that is neat. Good for Jonah Heim. A little bit of redemption in the opening game of the season. And so, yeah, the Cubs take that lead on what was ultimately termed a wild pitch, I believe. But Heim knew that he had messed up by not covering the plate. And then he has the opportunity to drive in the go-ahead run. And there was a bat flip, and there was a helmet toss, and there was definitely some emotion there. The Rangers begin by repping themselves well as World Series champions. But these two teams, they could be the Rangers are a team to watch as the defending champ. But I think the Cubs, the moves they made and coming off of last year when they nearly made the playoffs, there's a lot of excitement around the Northsiders as well. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. It was definitely a different atmosphere in Baltimore, where there was a moment of silence before the first pitch for the victims of that bridge collapse. The latest is that they had rescued the two men right away. They found two other victims and were able to pull them from the wreckage. But now they've kind of had to not only delay and postpone, but also change the recovery efforts because there's so much debris in the water, and the weather on Thursday was rough. The water is choppy and it's hard to see. And they do believe that they've got technology, I think sonar technology, which shows them where there are other vehicles and potentially where they might be able to find the other four men that they haven't been able to pull out of the water yet. But they have to wait until they've got the right equipment. And they're reportedly loading large barges. So the Navy's getting organized and loading up huge barges with cranes that will then go up the Patapsco River and will start to pull the debris out of it. But the issue is that they really can't do a whole lot more. It's dangerous for divers. They obviously can't put other boats in there right now. because you start to move debris around, you start to move pieces of the bridge around, and who knows what else happens and what else that moves. The ship is still sitting there in the port of Baltimore or the Baltimore Harbor. And from what I understand, the crew is still on it, too. They're not allowed to leave. So there were, I think there were 21 crew members on the ship, and they're still there getting interviewed and kind of going over the timeline and what happened on their end. They say it could take 2 years to rebuild this bridge, which is a major thoroughfare, the Baltimore Beltway, as they call it, just to give, you know, vehicles, 33,000+ vehicles a day is what they would channel over that bridge. But just in addition to the loss of life, which is so tragic, and the damage that was done, it's a financial mess for the city of Baltimore and the port that has to be shut down, not to mention a major shipping channel for the Eastern Seaboard. And so into all of that, really somber and sober, difficult week for Baltimore and for its residents and families that are missing their loved ones. And then you start baseball. And I know that there's a ton of excitement around the Orioles because of what they did last year. You know, we had talked to Scott Miller about the O's, and he reminded us they were ahead of schedule last year. They were maybe a year ahead of schedule. 100+ games in the regular season they win, though they don't capitalize in the playoffs. But it's step one. And then they bring in Corbin Burnes, and he's their brand new ace. And so they do this moment of silence, and then Burnes takes the mound, and the Orioles get started in 2024.
2-2 to Rendon with two outs, bases empty, top of the sixth. 7-1 Baltimore. Some fans appreciating this. Here's the pitch. Curveball, strike three. Another strikeout for Burnes. He has punched out 11 on opening day. And he walks off the mound to a thunderous applause.
Yeah, it was fun. We got 162 games. It's always good to start with the win. So we went out and we played good baseball today. Those guys swing the bat well, played great defense, and able to keep them from scoring too many runs today. So overall, good day. Came out of it healthy, came out of the win, so it's a positive.
Lots of excitement again around Camden Yards and the just the emotion of the moment, but also fans having a reason to get excited, fans having a reason to smile and cheer. And what do we say about sports? They have this inane ability to bring us together and to heal even in the most tragic of circumstances.
The first pitches and all the people that are on the field pregame, you know, the crowd's louder, just the anticipation of watching the team, you know, you definitely can feel that. And so I think the it's a little louder in the stadium on opening day, and you know, hopefully it can be like this a little more often.
The Orioles win going away 11-3. And I know a lot of Orioles fans are psyched, full of hope about this season for Baltimore. And again, I think the Orioles and their fan base having the start to the season now is helpful. It can bring a little hope and a little joy and a little relief. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Love to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's a lot of big moments, memories and milestones and moments as we wrap up the month of March. You know how much I love my alliteration, the March Madness. So we'll have to get back to college basketball. Really having a whole lot of time to talk about football. Though, did you see, well, either you saw it because you're a lip reader or you saw the headline. There are people out there who are sure they know where Drake May is getting selected in the NFL draft. Oh my goodness. It is the power of lip reading, but also the power of seduction, the seductive news, the breaking news. Do we now have a scoop? Good to have you with us. Good morning to you. It's a Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thanks for hanging out with us on this Friday morning, heading into a weekend, heading into Easter weekend, as a matter of fact. We've got more college hoops to come and also a little bit of the Major League Baseball opening day, because I know so many of you are excited. We asked you in a poll about the way you lean, I suppose. Would it be a happier almost Friday because of baseball opening day or because of the start of the Sweet 16 in college basketball? And many of you were, in fact, it was 2-1 almost, saying that it was baseball opening day. There are some of you who say baseball is for the summertime, and that's true. They are the boys of summer. However, it is fun to be able to have options this early in the spring. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page, our YouTube channel. Also get our podcast. It's available minutes after the show. We're not going to spend a lot of time on football. Ha ha, surprise, surprise, NFL. But Drake May had his pro day over Thursday. And then also, you end up having the Jaden Daniels pro day as well. And so the have both LSU and North Carolina with their pro days. And this comes on the heels of, the other top quarterbacks in the draft who are also holding their pro days over the last couple weeks, because the draft now is just, it's just 3 weeks away. We're getting there. And so teams are making their final meetings and kind of watching these guys in their own comfort zones. So mentioned the Drake May. He looked really good. A lot of people gave rave reviews of him. Now, he's throwing to his own guys. He's in his own space. But that's why quarterbacks so often forego throwing at the combine. And in the extreme case of Caleb Williams, doesn't go through medicals, doesn't run drills or get measured, and also doesn't throw because they're just more comfortable. They want it to be a controlled space when they're in their own facilities and they're throwing to their own receivers to whom they are familiar. So here's both Drake May and Jaden Daniels. And because LSU has got Brian Kelly on the sidelines there, and because they're talking over the course of the pro day this week, there are lip readers who are in full force. Now, at the top of the draft, you've got the Bears, who are selecting number one and are likely to take Caleb Williams. I don't even think that's a secret anymore. Forget well-kept secret. Then you've got the Commanders at number two. There's been a lot of debate about what they'll do at number two. Drake May was supposed to be the guy at two for the longest time. But because Jaden Daniels had such a great season for the Tigers, and because he was a fifth-year senior with an extra maturity there, now there's more of a debate about what happens at number two. And his numbers are off the charts, of course, but that's college, so now we're moving forward. But he did have college football's highest single season passer efficiency rating. It's one of the ways that they judge QBs, obviously. He's also a mobile quarterback who can do damage with his legs and on the move. All right, so Brian Kelly was talking at the pro day with Dan Quinn, who's, of course, Washington Commanders have a big contingent there at the pro day. It wasn't just Dan. It was also Cliff Kingsbury. Welcome back, Cliff. The new offensive coordinator there in Washington and their new general manager who came from San Francisco, Adam Peters. And so Kelly is kind of talking away. And this is apparently what lip readers have come up with. But also, he gets interviewed and he kind of makes a similar reference. He talks about how Daniels will be really committed, blah, blah, blah. Don't worry about his size. He kind of compares him to Lamar Jackson. Okay. And then he even says, Patrick Mahomes, I wouldn't consider him a giant. But he says, both on the sidelines and then in this interview, because he, referring to Jaden Daniels, is going to get the ball out to the playmakers and make plays for Washington. That's what he says. Oh, okay then. And, there was a big Washington contingent there. So I guess if you want to judge by the smile, so whether you're a lip reader or you want to go with the body language, the body English, and the facial expressions of Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, they were both pretty smiley at Jaden's pro day. So yeah, pro days kind of coming hot and heavy now. It seems like we've got him every day, every other day, and the latest were Jaden and then Drake right in the middle of March Madness. It's their version of March Madness. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Mike is listening in Baltimore. Mike, welcome to the show.
Baby.
Hey.
My almost birthday twin, April 6th, April 8th for me.
Uh-huh.
Hey, the other night I was in the other room. I had you on radio, and I was in the other room, and I heard you say something about the Key Bridge or whatever, and I didn't pay any mind. And then I heard more, and you said, you know, the vehicle had crashed in it, and I'm like, oh, my God, you know, and I turned on the radio here in Baltimore, I mean, the TV, and then I saw everything. But that's how I found out about it. I just heard it, you know, just from a distance, and really wasn't paying any mind when I was listening from the other room. But, boy, it was devastating, of course, but like I said, it's really, you know, that's how I first heard about it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did, actually. I mean, people who weren't necessarily expecting to get news out of Baltimore, right? But
right.
It happened right before we went on the air. And by the time we were on the air, people had started sending me the video and telling me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were trying to do our best to find any kind of information. But yeah, we saw it within minutes because that video was all over the place. And just something that you would see out of a movie starring The Rock. It didn't even look believable. But then more and more in the information coming out too. And I know it's not just for Baltimore residents who use the bridge, but it's a major thoroughfare around the city for people who go up and down the East Coast for semis and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I just want to let you know that's how I first found out about it. Wow. But anyway, on a lighter note, on a happier note, I'm really thrilled about the Orioles start today. I know you're a Sox girl, but
working in this business for 20 years now at the national level, you kind of lose your rooting interest. But I do love Fenway. I'll say that Fenway's one of my favorite places to go.
Yeah, but yeah, just happy the way it started off, and
I bet.
I think we're gonna go further this year. Really, I really do. This might be our year.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I love the fact that they've got some good young talent. Bringing in Corbin Burns is a big deal. I mean, he exudes such confidence himself with his experience, but also the fact that he goes out there and on opening day allows just one base runner. That's the Mike Trout home run, right? One base runner in the six innings. I mean, that's huge. Talk about a way to start. And you know you can rely on him as long as he stays healthy. And the way the fans were and greeting the team back at Camden Yards, yeah, there's certainly a lot of buzz, and for good reason.
Okay. It's nice talking to you, Amy. And one note I want to make. Orioles' new owner, David Rubenstein, Yeah, he looks just like Warren Buffett. I'm like, is there the same person or what?
I suppose Warren Buffett would have the money if he wanted not just buy a team, but also disguise himself cleverly.
Right. What I'm saying, I've never seen them two in the same room. I wonder about that. All right, take care, Amy.
Thanks, Mike. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Let's talk to Drew, who's in North Carolina. Drew, welcome to After Hours.
Amy. Hey. Thanks.
Yo.
Okay. Hey, what's up, Amy? Yo.
Yo.
NC State. What do you think? What's your take on NC State tomorrow? How do you feel on them versus Marquette?
Well,
I'm cold calling.
Okay, at this point, it's a total toss-up, right? These games, you get to this point, and it's really about who performs. Who would have thought that Alabama would be able to get UNC out of its comfort zone in the second half and that they'd go cold from three? I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens right now. Clemson, too, really leading Arizona most of the way in their game. But I love NC State for a couple of reasons. Number one, they're playing with house money, right? They weren't even supposed to be here. And winning, what is it now, seven games in a row. And I think they're catching some teams by surprise, too, which is great. But they've got all that momentum. They've got great confidence now. They've been able to battle, you know, right into, not just through their own conference, which gives them great experience, but also into the tournament. And so I love the story, and I think it's amazing. They are maybe not a Cinderella in name because of their history and also because they come from a power conference. But the way they got into the tournament and the fact that they have no pressure on them now, the pressure is on the other team in every game from here on out.
Every game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I haven't seen Marquette play a single game all season, but I've watched every NC State game. You know, I went to NC State 03, yes, to 09. I was a super-duper senior.
Oh, nice.
But, you know, I got to see Phillip Rivers and Russell Wilson play at NC State football jerseys, yo, and Julius Hodge.
There you go.
And TJ Warren.
That's
and
impressive.
Like, you know, I feel all of them just, like, with this team, you know, everyone, all the NC State athletes that tried and were so close to winning championships, you know, that's all that energy is with them. I just want to put that out to the national media because it's there. And, like, you know, you take a good close look at this team. Kevin Keats, he put together his squad. I mean, Jalen Taylor, a.k.a. J-Tay, he's been hurt, man. There's a secret weapon on hiding on the bench. On top of that, there's two of them. Another guy, Dennis Parker, he's been sick. I don't know what he's sick with, but whenever the doctors say he can play, we've got a 6'9 NBA prospect who is the only freshman who made the team, by the way.
Mm.
And he started for a big segment of the season.
Maybe there's something to be said.
Which is why Diarra came on so late. He had to fight and fight and fight and practice, and now he's got his chance to play, and he's in this Ramadan thing going on, and yo, God is alive. You're just watching it happening in real time. It's just,
I think one of the things that might explain or does explain why they weren't a factor in the ACC until the tournament is because, like many teams, they hit the transfer portal. Kevin Keats brought in, what was it, 7-8 new players? And so that's part of it. It takes a little time for everyone to get on the same page.
We were finally allowed to play on the same playing field. Duke, Carolina, you know, they've got great lawyers at their school that allow them to do what they do. But now NIL is everyone can play on the same playing field. And you see what's happening. Clemson and NC State, here we come.
Yeah, absolutely. So were you happy when UNC was upset?
Nah, my sister's an UNC grad. My dad's a UNC grad.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Honestly, I wanted to see them and take them in the end.
Gotcha.
Really. Right. But I wanted to see Duke. Now I want to just see Clemson. You know, I want to be all ACC, baby. You know?
There you go. All right. Well, enjoy the game on Friday. It's going to be a lot of fun to see if they can win an eighth in a row.
Hey, what's it going to take? What's the full number? What's it going to be? What's it got to be?
I have no idea.
12?
I'm telling you. I don't guess.
11.
10.
What would it take? I mean,
9.
It took 5 to get here.
7.
It'd be 11. 5 plus 6.
Oh, you're talking about how many games in a row to win it.
Yeah,
oh, I got
have
you.
To win 11 in a row.
I got
to
you.
Get the whole thing.
Yes, they would.
Woo! That's a good number, though.
That is a good number. All right, Drew. enjoy the weekend.
Yay.
Warriors. Okay. He's very excited. But I like the fact that he's rooting for the rest of the ACC as well. That's different. But yeah, as an 11 seed, I get it. The Wolfpack dropped 4 in a row to end the regular season. But maybe that 11 is not as accurate and a reflection of their whole regular season or the fact that they play in a really tough conference. I mean, they are battle-tested, not just about playing in the ACC, but I mean, they're talking about top 25 clubs. And they've had to battle through that to get to where they are now. So you're not talking about a team that's a typical 11 who doesn't have experience against the best in college basketball. All right. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, Dawn Staley, the latest to weigh in about the growth of women's basketball and not just about the depth and more teams that can win titles, but about the profile and more people tuning in. And what did Lisa Bluter tell us last Sunday? We want more games on TV, because the more games that are on TV, the more people see us. And when they see us and they see this product, they'll recognize that it's something worth investing in. It's something special. So Dawn Staley plus Draymond Green. I mean, he is at least taking responsibility. Also, if you didn't hear his response to the Houston Rockets taunting Warriors, you got to come out to play. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Well, Draymond Green was ejected during the timeout because Fennessy Ransom and Ray Acosta, instead of being like an old school official and move away from the guy who's upset, no, they stayed close to him and kind of talked with him. And as a result, Draymond gets ejected 3 minutes and 36 seconds in.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Tim Roy on Warriors Radio. Yeah, that happened just the other night in Orlando, and it took quite the late heroics from Steph Curry for them to get another victory and to remain ahead of the streaking Rockets. Oh, ha-ha. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Tying a season-high fourth ejection of the year for Draymond Green. But on his podcast, called The Volume, appropriately, he takes responsibility for what happened against the Magic.
Since I've returned, everything's headed in the right direction. It hit a little bump in the road, get over it, and keep going. I said what I said. I deserved to get kicked out at that point. If I'm all the way honest with y'all, I kind of was trying to turn my body and angle and go to the bench, and I said what I said, like, a little too soon before angling my body to the bench. But, yeah, it just can't happen. Like, we need to win games. So, like I said, not going to overreact. Like, oh, man, like, stuff is never as good as it seems. It's never as bad as it seems. Like, I know where I am. I understand what I'm doing moving forward. And in my position, just make sure that's the exception and not the rule.
I was wondering how his coaches and maybe even his general manager feels about him having this podcast where he just lays it all out there from The Volume. Whether it's the number of words, the volume of words, or whether it's the actual volume, it's appropriate for Dre. And I would love to host a talk show with Draymond Green, so don't take that as derogatory. Meanwhile, it's obviously gone viral the way that young Houston Rocket guard Tari Eason put out there on Instagram Live his issue, his invitation for the Warriors to come out and play, meaning, hey, we've got you in our sights. Warriors are only a game up on the Rockets in the standings, and Houston's won 10 in a row.
Why would he come out and make a video telling the Warriors to come out and play? Everybody in Houston had a heart attack when he did that. When you lose to a team in the playoffs when it matters the most, and like especially at the height of like, whew, you know, with them doves with like the height. When you lose, like, it's tough to talk because that's what matters. And so when you start talking, everybody just look back like, bro, you can't talk to them because of that. And so shout out to the young fella, you know, coming out, talking about Warriors come out and play. A part of the reason that I like Tari Eason is that he would come out and do that. Like, that's when I saw it, I wasn't surprised at all. I am a little surprised that he hasn't played in the game since January 1st. It's kind of tough to come out yelling, come out and play, and you're not going to play.
Yeah, that
Warriors!
Such a dig.
Come out to play! Warriors! Come out to play! Yeah! It's like that!
I knew he hadn't played the other night. He's young. He's 22. So no chance he saw. He wasn't around when the Warriors movie came out. We've learned all kinds of Warriors trivia. But how about Draymond Green first giving him some, I guess, hollow respect when you hear the entire comment on The Volume, but gives him gives him some some kind of grudging respect. Well, hey, young fella, you weren't around when the Rockets were getting bounced in the playoffs back-to-back years by the Golden State Warriors at really what was the height of the Rockets' attempt at winning another NBA title, even getting back to the Western Conference Finals. Remember, 2 years in a row, they had, gosh, James Harden, and then they had Chris Paul, and they still couldn't get past the Warriors. And so he's not part of that. So Tari Eason doesn't carry that around with him. But the fact that he hasn't played since January 1st, I didn't realize how long it had been since he'd been in the game. But I love that Dre or his team researched that.
You're a clown.
Anyway, he's always got to have the last laugh. That is so completely Draymond Green's MO. But he does it with a straight face sometimes, too. Now, if he could just do that with the officials in games where his body language, his volume, if you will, would be a lot calmer and a lot quieter, then maybe the officials wouldn't hear what he has to say. He actually gives us a breakdown, a play-by-play of the fact that he didn't turn his body quickly enough before he kept yelling. Now, just say what you got to say, but say it quietly. Or how about you mouth it without actually having any volume. So if you need to yell, almost choked on Draymond Green's words. If you need to yell the F word, then yell it, but don't have any volume.
If you're not going to punch me in my face when you see me, then shut up.
There you go. Just shut up. It's a little bit like when I would talk to my dog and I would tell her she was a pain in the butt or she was driving me crazy, but I would do it with a smile on my face, with the type of a tone of voice that she would think I was just being sweet. If Draymond Green could smile, pat the ref on the rear end, and then walk away with a smile on his face, he can say whatever he wants. Just, you got to watch that body language and the tone of voice volume, man.
Warriors!
It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.